News Talk 1450 KFIZ. Welcome back in on a Friday. Time for Behind the Badge with our friends over at the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office as we continue hour number two of the program here this morning. And joining us on the program is Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Captain Bill Tonick on the phone lines here on a Friday. Captain Tonick, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Thank you. Very good.
Appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. Topic today, going to kind of be a recap and look back on a tragic incident from last week, March 29th. Of course, two young men from Fond du Lac passing away in a canoe incident on Lake Winnebago. I know we're going to talk about kind of the response and just a brief recap of what happened. Remind us again, we've all heard, you know, of the bulk of the details, but remind us again about the call and the response to what happened last week.
So it was March 29th at approximately 8:30 p.m. The 911 dispatch center got a call of two 21-year-old Fond du Lac men that were in distress on Lake Winnebago in a canoe. So we initially got a hold of our operators, got the boat en route, and we got another call from them saying that the canoe had overturned. We lost contact with them for a period of time, and then a short while later, they were able to get back on, hold on to the canoe, and call us back. I don't know if people even realized how bad the weather was the night of March 29th, but the sustained winds were at a 25 to 30 miles an hour with winds up to 44 miles an hour. We had 4 to 5 foot waves and water temperatures were around 42 degrees. Initially we got our 24 foot Boston Whaler out there, which is basically unsinkable. That was able to get out. We did some damage to it because water levels were so low, plus those strong south winds. Literally, I don't know if a lot of boaters can attest to this, but when you get such strong winds, it literally takes water out of the big hole in the Fond du Lac River and lowers it even further. It's kind of an anomaly, but it did occur that night. We got out with our boat. The DNR got out, as well as the Fond du Lac Fire Department with some smaller vessels, but they soon turned back because, like I said, the conditions were treacherous. We continued to search. We did find the canoe, but not the occupants. And we also contacted the Coast Guard out of Traverse City, Michigan. And they deployed immediately. It's just amazing that they came over. I'm sure there were winds over, 50 miles an hour over Lake Michigan at that time, and they came over in their helicopter and did a grid search for us until at least 1 in the morning. But no, that was basically the first day. We dealt with family members throughout the whole week. They stood vigil at Lakeside West. They had a lot of family and friends and support, watching as we tried to recover their loved ones to them. By the next day, it transitions into a recovery. Because no one can sustain, those hypothermic conditions. And we, through Wisconsin Emergency Management, we got the DNR plane up to also do some reconnaissance for us. We got a larger boat out of Sheboygan through the DNR, a 30-foot Donzi with side scan sonar, in addition to our patrol boat and side scan sonar. Searched most of the day and still weren't able to find those two victims. On Wednesday, a second boat out of Door County, another, I think it was a 34-foot Donzi, that's one of the marine specialists out of Lake Michigan, came down with his towfish unit, which is a tow behind, kind of on the same wavelength of the side scan, but much more detail. And his expertise, we were able to recover one of the victims that night, and we marked a second victim, but it was just too rough for our divers to go down and continue that search. So we decided to stop that night and come back on Thursday morning when the winds died down, or Thursday afternoon when the winds died down, and we were able to recover that second victim.
So much went into this response. Obviously, when there's a serious incident like this, you need all the help you can get, but especially with the weather conditions and how challenging it was to get just your boat out there and even the boats from our local agencies. It's not every day you have the Coast Guard called into a local call like that, but so many different agencies helped out with this, and despite it ending in the way that everybody did not want it to end, with the untimely passing of these two young men, you still have to be thankful for all the help that you did get, right?
Absolutely. It's always a collaborative effort. And like I said, the DNR was there throughout the entirety of it. The Coast Guard initially, when it was that rescue mode, fire department was there offering the ambulance services, and they got their boat out. And then I can't say enough about Wisconsin Emergency Management. Had a lot of connections to, you know, get us the air support. They also got us on with the Air Force. A division of the Air Force actually helped us out with GPS coordinates from the cell phones that we got from the victims, the last marks, and they were able to, you know, give us a kind of a pinpoint, a trajectory on which way that vessel was going to move. There were outpouring of civilians that offered their assistance, canine teams that were ready to come, and they had training with, you know, water training, for that if needed. But, you know, every day we were in contact with the large extended family, I should say, of both families and friends. And I just wanted to, you know, give my condolences to the family once again. And, you know, our guys beat themselves up that we weren't able to rescue these two individuals. But, you know, there's some lessons that can be learned. And like I said, we were very fortunate to, with such a huge body of water, get those young men back to the family. Not the way, like you alluded to, the way we wanted to, but to give closure to the family. And that was very important that we continue at it until we were able to bring them back.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the lessons that can be learned here. And I know the Sheriff's Office and a number of agencies, even right here on the show, we talk about, you know, water safety, ice safety, stuff like that. And obviously, we don't want to sound like we're, you know, piling on and you know, coming down on anybody for decisions made and whatever. But what can we learn from a situation like this with the weather and with boat safety and water safety? What are some lessons that the Sheriff's Office is hoping people keep in mind in response to this?
Well, you know, ultimately, like we alluded to earlier, the personal flotation devices, first and foremost, anytime you go on the water, I don't care if it's in the, you know, a small body of water and it's flat calm out, you never know when something's going to happen. So having those PFDs, you know, when hypothermia sets in, I'm sure those two gentlemen were just, they weren't able to physically hang on to the vessel anymore and then slipped under. You know, and I'm not going to say woulda, coulda, shoulda, but at least the PFDs would have kept them floating, whether they were conscious or not. It would have helped our attempts at rescuing them. And then secondly, know your conditions. You know, and I know these gentlemen knew it was windy, and I don't think their initial thought was to go out into Lake Winnebago. They were going to stick in the channel of Lakeside Park, around Oven Island and that. Somehow they did get out far enough where they were swept out. And that's one thing, you know the conditions, know your vessel. I mean, it's a 17-foot canoe, which isn't the place for, you know, any type of boating situation when you have winds sustained at 25, 30 miles an hour. In fact, really, there should be no boats out there. I can tell you from our operators, they were, once they concluded the search, you know, these are three of the most, you know, seasoned veterans that we've got that fish the lake, fish Michigan and Erie, and when they got back, they were exhausted and ready to be in. So that's a huge one. Know those conditions. These gentlemen did have the foresight to have their cell phones with them. That really helped us pinpoint where they were. It's just the conditions, Mother Nature opened, you know, just swallowed them up and just swept them with those conditions. Cell phone helped greatly. Like I said, we had the Air Force doing a little reconnaissance on those phones, and we found those cell phones were within 6 meters of what dispatch was telling us those coordinates were. So it tells you how accurate our smartphones are. And then finally, you know your limitations out there. You know, and I've talked to a few experts on it that offered advice, and I think these gentlemen knew once they couldn't buck those strong south winds, they let the vessel go. Unfortunately, it wasn't big enough to survive not getting overturned. But sums up pretty much everything that we always strive to when we talk, like you said, about boating conditions and ice conditions. Do your homework before you go out there. That's the main point.
Very good. Captain Todick, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.